Like hinges straining from the weight, my heart no longer can keep from singing. All that is within me cries for you alone. Be glorified, Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid, these chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us. Our hearts don't deserve your glory, still you show a love we cannot afford. Like hinges straining from the weight, my heart no longer can keep from singing. All that is within me cries for you alone. Be glorified, Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid, these chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us. It's such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay it at your feet. It's such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay it at your feet. It's such a tiny offering compared to Calvary. Nevertheless, we lay it at your feet. And all that is within me cries for you alone. Be glorified, Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid, these chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us. My heart sings a brand new song. The debt is paid, these chains are gone. Emmanuel, God with us. all my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. And so I throw up my hand and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else that's fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Good morning. Good morning, welcome home, as we like to say, the Hope on the Beach Church. If this is not your church home, we always say, but you're welcome, you're still family, and we're delighted you're here with us today. As we come to this place, we like to say this is a no-judgment zone. This is a place of God's grace. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay to just worship in a way that is meaningful for you. We just want, really, for God to come do His work, and then He awakens our hearts to Jesus in each and every time. That's the mission we want to fulfill and help you with. We do love to be able to welcome your presence here with us. We do believe that God has brought you here, and you're a gift from God, and we want to honor that gift. So in your worship folder, there's a connection card that looks like this. It'd be so kind to fill out the front. Those joining us online, you're welcome. Love to hear you kind of post on Facebook or at the website. Delighted you're here to be with us, too. And if you want the worship folder, you can go to the website and just scroll down, and you'll see the worship folder there is available to just download so you can worship with us. Today, it's no surprise what today is. Everybody can say it? Palm Sunday. Hence, you got a palm, maybe. If not, go pick one out. We're delighted you're here to celebrate as Christ's triumphant entry as we come in. And so as we begin our worship together with that, I want to invite you to stand. And we're just going to read the gospel, the story, as we begin today. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples and saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we come here to shout your praises because you have come to us again, this humble king, to us, to meet us here, to come and minister to us and our needs, to take off our burdens and to carry them to the cross. So you are truly worthy of all our praise. And so we lift up our voices to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. 'Cause when we see, 'cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. We thank you today for that, Lord. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us, we welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Come have your way among us, we welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Coming on the clouds, kings and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battle. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks a chain, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him.
So open up the gates.
So open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Who could stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is a Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world, and His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who could stop the Lord? Oh, who could stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? No one, no. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? No. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb, He's the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring in power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb.
God, we thank You for being that Lion, for being that warrior for us. That's why we celebrate today, because You truly came and conquered, and we praise You in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to open up your outline and follow along today. Let me ask you something. Why is it that we love parades? I think we love parades because they celebrate victory. Right? A team wins a championship, we throw a parade. A nation wins a war, you throw a parade. Parades are for people who've already conquered something. Which makes Palm Sunday confusing. Because Jesus rides into Jerusalem, and within days, he's executed. That's not how victory works. That's not how triumph looks. And yet the church has always called this Sunday, this day, this moment, this triumphant entry. So here's the question. Why is it triumphant? Because if we're honest, this doesn't look like triumph. It looks like a man riding to the city with a death wish. And if that's true, then either the church has been wrong for 2,000 years, or we have completely misunderstood what victory actually is. And here's the thing, if you misunderstand what that victory is, what kind of victory Jesus brings, you spend your whole life looking for a different kind of king. So it begs us to look deeper. So number one, the crowd welcomes their king, but it's a king they created. It's a king they created. Matthew 21:8, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna, son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" It looks like a coronation. Palm branches, shouting Hosanna, which means Lord, save us. There is this contagious energy. People are joining in. It's becoming this movement going throughout the city. They're grabbing branches, grabbing whatever they can in their own coats, and they're throwing them down, shouting praise. I mean, this moment looks like victory. It sounds like victory. But it's not the victory they think. Look closer. Go past the activities and the noise and look at the hearts. And this is not an act of submission. This is projection. They are not bowing before a king. They are trying to bend a king to themselves, to their own will. They're not receiving a king as he is. They are celebrating the king they want. John records in chapter 6:15, he says, "Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king." They don't just want a king. They want a king on their terms. A king who will fix their situation. A king who will defeat Rome, a king who will restore their version of greatness and make them more powerful and a comfortable nation again. And before we move on too quickly or start to wag our finger at them, this is not just their problem, it's ours too. We don't receive the king as he is. We remake him. We remake him. I mean, it happened soon after Jesus was gone. The church was forming. You would think in the earlier church that they would be so pure and have it right. I mean, they were just like right with Jesus, with the people that were with Jesus. And yet, what the Apostle Paul tells Timothy in Timothy 4:3, he says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions." Let me press in just a little bit on that. What if the Jesus you are most comfortable with is not the real Jesus? What if the version of Jesus that you rarely question the version that never confronts you, that never calls you to change, that never challenges you to give, that never prompts you to serve, that never disagrees with you. What if that Jesus is really the Jesus that you have shaped and not the one he is? See, if he's the one that's been shaped by you, that makes you comfortable, that doesn't challenge you, doesn't prompt you, doesn't convict you, doesn't disagree with you. The problem is not only do you have the wrong Jesus, is that really, that king you created cannot save you. It doesn't save us. And I know that deep in our hearts and souls, we know this. We know there's only one true Savior and King, but yet our hearts are prone to keep drifting to new kings. And I put kings plural, because we keep going from one to another, and we hold on to old ones, and we keep adding new ones. Our heart is a factory of making kings and making idols in the hope, in the promise that they will bring what we need, what we want. They will bring that relief, that strength. And so we're constantly looking at the culture and looking towards money or power or something for our security or the government or stuff. And meanwhile, we know it's short relief at best. But yet we keep doing it. See, the reality is the king that is shaped by us has no power to save us. Only the real Christ can. And what did that king do that could save us? Philippians 2, 8-11 expresses it in great detail, but simply, he came and humbled himself. The one who created all things became his own creation and humiliated himself to take on flesh, to take on our suffering and be a servant to what he has created. And to the point of even death, and even death on a cross. And that is the shock of Palm Sunday. That see, this King Jesus dies for the people cheering and rejecting him. Jesus doesn't just die for people who like him, who agree with him, or the one shouting, "Hosanna, save us!" But he also goes and dies for the ones who are shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so we ask again, why is this triumphant? Because indeed, Jesus is the triumphant king because he refuses to be the king we invent and remains the king that saves. He refuses to become the king we invent and remains the king that saves. And this has been consistent throughout Jesus' life. When Jesus was baptized, he was dragged out into the desert in his fasting and time of temptation with Satan. And then at his weakest moment, he was brought to the very highest part, this high, high mountain, to look over all the world and to see all the kingdoms. And Satan basically says to him, "Look, Jesus, you can skip all this suffering. You don't have to go through all this. You can take the shortcut, and all this will be yours if you bow down and worship me." And Jesus refused to worship Satan. And it's no surprise when he was on the cross and he was hanging there in a great time of pain and suffering, incredible, horrible, horrific torture, that they would shout to him, "If you're truly the King of the Jews, you're truly this Messiah, then save yourself. come down from the cross. But he refused to save himself because he wanted to save you. We would have come down, but he stayed. Why? Number two, the king is not of this world. He's not of this world. He's the promised one. He's God's son. And this is what he's showing. And Matthew records they took the place, and this took the place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "So to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, a colt, a foal, a beast of burden." So maybe now you start to see it. The problem wasn't the crowd was too big or enthusiastic. The problem was their expectations were way too small. They wanted a king to fix their situation. Jesus came to do something far, far greater. And they would have known that. I mean, Zechariah 9:9. This word would have been known to them. "Behold, your king is coming, righteous, having salvation, humble, mounted on a donkey." It's been promised, it's been prophesied. These details matter. These details are revealing the king, the promised one, to them. The Messiah, the word of promise, the word of prophesied is here in the flesh, who's come to save you, the one that only can. And he's a different king. Because kings those days were in horses and chariots. Horses were powerful. They were used in war. Chariots were symbols of wealth. And so it's on display. The other kings would come with horses and chariots saying, "Look, we're conquerors. We have all the power and the wealth." And Jesus comes, not on a camel or a Mercedes, but a donkey. This is not weakness. This is a decoration. This king is different. Jesus later says in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were this world, my servants would have been fighting." I mean, there's going to be force. There would be domination. Jesus could have called down all of heaven and angels, come down and just destroyed them and the people if he wanted to. But that's not his kingdom. He's not that king. And the crowd knew what they wanted, and they only wanted one thing. A, the crowd wanted a lion who could crush Rome. They wanted a lion to crush Rome. They wanted a political leader, a warrior to lead an insurrection to destroy the Roman Empire. And to put them in charge as a great nation. But B, God sent the Lamb who would carry the sin of the world on him. See, the people, they wanted something, immediate victory. It's visible power, political change, freedom in the sense that they were in control. That was their definition of freedom. But Jesus, he brings forgiveness. He brings reconciliation. He brings eternal life. He brings a hope and a true freedom that is for our soul, that's not based on any circumstance, but it's forever. So why is this triumphant? See, Jesus the King triumphed because he has come not to win temporary victory, but eternal victory. We live in such a world that says, "What have you done for me lately?" I mean, if you listen to how news stories are covered, most of the time we hear news stories, they're covered with this question, "What have you done? What have you done for me?" Or, "What haven't you done for me?" And here's the reality. Everything that is accomplished here, everything they build, everything they change will not last. It is temporary. But Jesus' kingdom does not rest on circumstances. It rests on the finished work of Jesus on the cross. See, number three, the king goes after the real enemy. If the real enemy was Rome, they were the real problem, then Rome would need to be overthrown. And Jesus would have done it. But Rome is not the real problem. I mean, even Jesus' ministry, he doesn't even criticize Rome. He doesn't challenge those leaders. He challenges the church. See, the real enemies that are attacked on you, are sin, death, and the devil. Those are enemies. This is the burden Jesus is carrying on a donkey. He's carrying the weight of our sin. He's carrying the weight of the death that's coming. He's carrying the weight of a battle with Satan. Satan has been punished because of sin, of the jealousy of the creation of man in God's image, which he thought he was the only one that would hold. He was the one that was to be the glorifying of God, and he's been after God ever since, and the battle is about to end. And these enemies cannot be defeated with swords or an election. Only a sacrifice. Only a Savior can. It's why Jesus has to come. Palm Sunday is this announcement. Your true triumphant King is here to do what he came for. John 12:23, Jesus says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Think about it. Jesus is looking into the future to this incredible, horrific persecution, death on the cross, and he's saying, glory! He's not saying tragedy, not defeat, but glory. Why? Because this is the moment that changes everything. Don't miss this. B, Jesus steering history towards the cross. He's steering history. Jesus is not being swept away by the events like it's some great undertow and he's losing all sorts of control and is just a victim. No, he knows. He knows what Judas is going to do. He knows what Peter's going to do. He knows what the Jewish leadership's going to do. He knows what the guards are going to do. He knows what Pilate's going to do. He knows what the crowd's going to do. And yet, he keeps on going. He is moving directly towards the cross on purpose. Because this is where the victory is won. This is the glory. The Hebrews writer captures our memory verse, Hebrews 12:2. Let's read it together. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand on the throne of God." So you see, because King Jesus is advancing towards a victory that will actually save the world. Jesus goes to the cross to save the world. It's not to improve the world. It's not to adjust the world. It's not just to kind of do a little tweak to the world. It is needing to save the world. This is triumphant. Because the king is not losing. He's winning through the cross. And number four, the king arrives for you. And if we really slow down enough to hear the voices inside of us, this is the part we struggle to believe. Because Jesus knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly who he's riding in for. It's not the cleaned up version of you that you project. It's not your future self. It's not your improved you. It's you. It's you with that sin. That sin, that failure that makes you feel like everything you do and everything you are is bad. It's you. If your regrets and pain from the past you continue to carry and try to submerge and run away from, that keeps you in bondage and stuck from moving forward. And it's the you that no one else knows but you. And knowing all that, he doesn't turn around. He kept going to the cross for you. See, Jesus did not ride into Jerusalem because people were faithful. He rode into Jerusalem because they weren't. They weren't faithful. Jesus rides in Jerusalem knowing exactly who he's going for. Jesus knows there's going to be betrayal. He knows he's going to be denial. He knows there's going to be failure. And he does not turn away and says, it's not worth it. Like, I'm only going to do this if they approve of me, if they accept me. He goes to the cross for you. And he goes not to inspire you, not to give you some holy example, some morality on how to live, that you have a religion that can make you feel good or make you feel bad because you can never live up to it. He goes there for you to save you. See, Jesus is the triumphant king because he goes to the cross for people who cannot save themselves. He is the perfect sacrifice. He is the one who's able to pay for our sins. He does what no other king could ever do. He pays so we are forgiven of our sin. You are removed from your guilt, to remove your guilt, to reconcile you to God. That you have his grace of forgiveness. You have this incredible love of a God who takes over your burdens, who cares for you, and a God of peace who reconciles you with him and builds a relationship that you know you stand in this in peace and confidence. That he is for you, not against you. And so it raises the question this morning. Good number five. Which king are you obeying? This question matters. And which king are you trusting? The one you have shaped or the one that actually saves? Palm Sunday is triumphant, not because the crowd understood it. They didn't. Not because the parade and crowd looked impressive and powerful. It wasn't. It is triumphant because Jesus is not on his way to defeat. He's on his way to victory. A triumph through the cross. He rides in Jerusalem and goes to the cross. He dies, he rises, and he's seated on the right hand of God the Father. Ephesians 1 says, seated far above all rule and authority. That means your sins are forgiven. He has the power and authority to do so. He has the power and authority because he has defeated death. He has paid that price. And he is reigning over all in victory. And that victory is yours. See, the bottom line of Palm Sunday is he won. He won. If you're filling out your brackets through Scripture, Jesus wins the championship. See, the crowd thought they were welcoming a king, and they were. They just didn't understand the kind of king he was. A king who does not conquer by taking life, but by giving life. A king who does not avoid suffering, but walks straight into it. A king who does not save himself, because he's come to save you. See, palm branches fade, crowds disappear, voices grow quiet. But the king who rode into Jerusalem went to a cross, rose from the grave, and now reigns. And his victory is not something to admire. It's something that is given to you. To you. And that's why it's triumphant. Amen? Let's pray. God, we're reminded how quickly we can be swayed. How we move from one thing to the next, one king to the next. How we can shout your praises and then at the same time reject you. And yet, you say to us who are unfaithful, I'll be faithful. And I will go to the cross for you. And I will do what you cannot do to save you. So when you sway or you drift, you know there's grace. His grace is greater than any sin you could ever commit. His mercy is greater. And he says, God is just. And when we turn to him and confess our sins, he forgives us of all our unrighteousness and cleanses us from all unrighteousness and forgives our sins. He makes us new. Not only that, he forgets it. As far as east is from west, he'll remember your sin no more. If you're remembering your sins and let them define you, that's Satan, that's not God. That's not some holy thing. That's not a way to, you're going to motivate yourself and grow and change. No. We're saying, yeah, I know I've been that, but I'm redeemed. My God is a God. He's a king. And he's a king over sin and death and the devil. And they have no power over me. It may seem like a lion, but I know the true lion. I know the Lion of Judah, who's greater. So yeah, you can prowl around me, old Satan. You can try to poke your finger, but my line is greater. And he says, I am forgiven in Christ. And the victory over sin, and the victory over death, and the victory over Satan is mine. It's mine. I might lose some battles, but I got the victory. You ain't taking the victory. It's mine. To that we rejoice, to our true King. And we go to him in great confidence of King who really cares and loves us. And we pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In your worship folder, there's an opportunity that we get to worship and honor our King with our gifts that he's given us. And so we have an opportunity to bring our tithes and offerings as our worship, as we surrender to him what he's given to us, to recognize that it's from his grace and what a great gift he's given us. And we want to love to honor him and worship him that way. And so you have a worship offering envelope, or you can go online and or use the QR code, text to give, whatever, to share. Also, in your connection card, if you can turn on the backside, there's opportunities how you can grow. And so if you'd like to be baptized or want daily devotions that are based on our messages, we give them for email Monday through Friday. Also, if you'd like to have some discipleship training opportunities, we'd love to help you in growing your faith. Opportunities coming up to plan a connect. We do have a men's breakfast coming up. We do that once a month, and a great time of fellowship and getting into the Word together. And good food. And also now our life groups are going to have a five-week kind of mini semester. We're going to get together and study the Gospel of Mark. And so, man, if you'd like to get connected, get around a group of people around the Word who encourage you, do life with, who care and love on you. Life groups is a great place to go and dive in that and learn more about the Lord together. Also, opportunities to serve, as we understand this is Holy Week. We have our Good Friday service coming up. You see the three there. And also Easter services, including that sunrise here. We'll have, we're probably most likely will not be a chunk. They got the tent back up, but they're not ready. And so we will have three Easter services here. The sunrise is 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and then the 9:20 will all be here next Sunday. And then we'll see when we're going to start the 9:20 back at Chunk Gully Oyster Bar. And so at this time, though, before we get ready to close our service, I'd like to call forward Jeff and Karen Gates, Melissa Derby. Would come forward, please. If you want to bring a pen, that'd be great. I just need one. Somehow I missed this. Seems all official now. So it is great delight that we get to welcome you into membership. It's been awesome to see how God has brought you all here, and you share your faith and share your life and been part of this community. Now you make this official profession to our community here, to the church. And so I'm going to turn this way. And so as members of the church, God has made a covenant with us. He's brought us into a covenant of his family, his commitment to us through his son Jesus Christ, through baptism. And now we are covenant with each other. And so have been baptized, professing your faith in Jesus Christ, and being in agreement with Hope on the Beach Church, that is actually a church of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and being in agreement with our mission, vision, theology, and structure, you're now led by the Holy Spirit to commit and unite on the Hope Church family. In doing so, you commit yourself to God and to other members in the following way. And we lay out the four ways. One, that you protect the unity of the church. God brought us into a body to work together in unity. When we're in unity, it is the power of God working together through us in his love that binds us together and helps us to serve and work together through our leadership and each other. The shared responsibilities of your church, to praying for its growth, to reaching out to others and welcoming and caring for others. To serve in the ministry of the church by using your gifts and talents that you continue to be equipped and to be growing in a small group and a life group, and support the testimony of the church by attending faithfully, living in godly life, and by giving regularly. If this is your desire, say yes with the help of God.
Yes.
It's my privilege and honor as a representative of this church, of Hope on the Beach Church, to extend you that fellowship and to welcome you into membership of Hope on the Beach Church. Congratulations. Welcome. Yes, please do. There you go. Thank you. Well, let's just pray and then we'll... So God, we thank you, Lord. Man, we like we said, you bring people there to us. We really believe they're a gift from you, that you have sent them to our church for a reason and a purpose. And we're delighted, and we ask that you would just bless them in their journey as a member here, that you continue to... help us to grow together into you, Christ, the head of his church. And we thank you for how you poured out and used them and will continue as we serve you in the mission that you've given us of awakening hearts of Jesus every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I invite you to rise as we close the worship. As we do, ushers will come along with buckets. You're welcome to put your connection card and your offering envelope in there. And if you like prayer after service, we'd love to pray for you. I'm available. We have other leaders there who are available to you. So please take advantage of if you'd like to.
Everyone needs compassion. Love is never failing. Let mercy fall on me. And everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King and Savior. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. And conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
God, we thank you that you did conquer the grave, God, and that you conquered sin and death as well, Lord, and because of that we can live free today, Lord. So we just thank you for that gift, God, and we don't ever want to take that for granted. So just receive this blessing as you go forth today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May He look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Be blessed. Have a good day. And if you're sitting in a blue Hope chair, you can leave it here. We have another service coming up, so someone else will use it. Thank you.